You're listening to SBS News.
Paying too much for insurance? Thinking of a side hustle? Or wanting to save on housing? Cost of Living Secrets takes you through what you can do to spend less. Ricardo Gonçalves and Peggy Giacomelos explore one area where consumers can make savings with an expert in the field. Cost of Living Secrets for SBS News.
ABS data in September 2024 showed just over 986,000 people had multiple jobs in Australia, and they're more often than not female.
Yeah, so in this episode of Cost of Living Secrets, we're taking a closer look at second jobs or side hustles, including what kind of extra work people are doing on the side, some of the benefits of side hustles, and how much time you should be putting into setting one up.
And to help us out with everything you need to know about side hustles, we're joined by Amanda Rose. She's the founder and CEO of Western Sydney Women, which is a social enterprise that supports women in achieving economic independence. Welcome to SBS.
Thanks for having me.
So does it surprise you that almost a million people have a side hustle?
No, especially in the cost of living crisis. And also uncertainty of jobs. So a lot of people have a side hustle as a buffer in case they lose their job or they, you know, redundancies took off last year. And I think a lot of people forget that. So it's a security thing. But also if they want to, you know, pay off the mortgage, pay rent, sometimes just survive, they need it.
And when we're talking about a side hustle, what do we mean?
Essentially, you've already got a job. Assume you've already got a job or even actually business in some instances, but you've got a job and you think, I need extra cash. I'm not getting a promotion. I'm not getting a pay rise. I need to find something to do after hours to bring in extra money. So that could be, you know, at night, it could be on the weekends. And it's actually when you think of the amount of time that you have that, you know, you take out your reality TV watching, maybe you'd have quite a few hours per week to do, to focus on that. And it's very popular, and it's very popular with women.
And while this is in the context of the cost of living crisis, right, I guess people also start up a side hustle, not necessarily just for money. Sometimes they enjoy what they're looking at doing, right?
Well, I'll put it this way. Women start a hobby on the side for something different and to escape and to have a, you know, like could be cooking, could be creating something, anything. Men usually start up a side hustle to venture into a new industry or to make a bit of money, and they have a very different way of approaching it. Women love it as a break and something, I'm really creative, I get to try something different, but then there's a block.
So why do you think there is that difference?
They feel guilty. Women, I talk to thousands of women about this, and like, oh, I feel guilty charging for this because I love doing it. You know, it's my passion project. You know, it could be baking cakes, for example. I know someone that was beautiful, beautifully created cakes for friends and so forth. They didn't want to charge for it. And when they didn't even charge enough for the actual ingredients, let alone their time. And when I said, why don't you charge? Oh, but it's for my friend or it's for my family, and I feel guilty charging. And I said, so you're literally losing money doing something just because you love it, you're willing to lose money on it and sacrifice your time to do it and not make any cash.
How often is it perhaps that once people are doing a side hustle, they don't know how to monetize it, how to start that as a business?
You'd be surprised just in general whether it's a side hustle or not. A lot of people don't know how to monetize what they do. And it really comes down to this: create something or provide a service or product and ask for money. It's as simple as that. You have to say no to the people that want it for free and start charging and start small and start building up. So when demand increases, you can actually increase your prices because you want less customers and less clients to make the same amount of money.
So before we get into specifics about what some of the popular side hustles are there any circumstances where, say, you're starting out in a side hustle or a little small business that you would be providing stuff for free to maybe, you know, reputation reviews, that kind of thing?
That's the only time. So when you need to build what I call, say, a portfolio, so it might be your Instagram account needs some pictures, so you might want to donate what you're making, or if it's, for example, say speaking, you want to go and do some speaking, you do a couple of free gigs, get some photos, put it up, so you've got the experience, you've got testimonials and reviews, that's fine. What happens is people fall into a trap and they think, I've just got to do one more. I've just got to prove myself a little bit more and then I can start charging.
And I think it's good to make a distinction too, because there is a difference between a side hustle when we talk about it being a business and a hobby, because there are tax implications, right?
Well, that's right. So, well, the dangers with hobbies is that they can actually cost you money. So a hobby where it's, say, you're breaking even, great, you can continue doing it. But really, a lot of people want to make money. They're just a little bit scared of asking. But yes, a lot of people forget that you're earning money. It is still income. So depending on how much you're earning in your day job, you might push you over to the next tax bracket. So you need to check on that.
And in terms of the most popular side hustles with the people that you've worked with in, you know, different demographics, what have you seen?
Would you believe it's right in front of you? Cleaning is one of the most popular. I actually have a good friend that cleans on the weekends and makes good money doing that for end of lease cleans. Mowing the lawns, helping people with tech, digital, so helping people with social media, graphic design, things like that. And it's usually people that have a completely different job during the week. So people in finance during the week will do something creative on the weekend, or someone that's in an office wants to go out and use their hands on the weekend. So it kind of balancing the brain in a way.
One where we're seeing it across all genders, right, is a, and it's a growing part of the economy, is this the shared economy, right? So your ride sharing or your food delivery. What do you need to know about those roles if you're thinking about those as side hustles?
Well, it's quite taxing to do something like that. A lot of people forget the cost of fuel. And so when you're considering being a ride share, so Uber or something like that, or even delivering food, how much is it costing you to actually do that? So you need to factor in insurances, fuel, maintenance of your car and so forth, and your time. And a lot of people think, wow, this is great, I earned $120, but did it take you 10 hours to do that? Or did it cost you $200 to make that $120? So making note, maybe piloting something and testing it, write it down, actually write down how much things are costing you.
A lot of these side hustles that one may do, you're doing it as a sole trader, right?
Yes.
If you're working in an organisation as a delivery driver or a rideshare driver, you're working for another company. What are some of the things you need to take into consideration there?
Yes, so that's a tricky one. So often they have you as an ABN holder and you're contracting to the company, and that's where people can pay you very minimal for that. If you want to have more security in your side hustle, you can get a second job and actually sign up to be an employee on the weekends for that, to give you that job security and also to accrue leave and so forth. However, a lot of people like the flexibility. When you're a contractor, you can say, I've got Wednesday night free, I'm going to jump in and take a couple of shifts or do something as a contractor. So it depends on your lifestyle and what you're looking for most.
And with the gig economy jobs, your organisation's based in Western Sydney, I guess a lot of the people that would be doing these jobs are new immigrants. Mm. For some of these people, this would be the only choice they have in terms of employment.
That's why I actually like this type of environment, because a lot of people have come over, very qualified people, mind you, that it's not recognised in Australia. So I've worked with women, so I'm an engineer, but I can't get a job here. So while they're transitioning, so they do maybe a bridging course or a certificate or a diploma in something, they will go and do a side hustle to make some money. So they might be doing something different over here while they're studying. And it's a very good way for them to bring in money and build their confidence. And that's another thing I think we overlook, especially for women. Side hustles can help them break free from whatever role they're in now, to test the waters of whether they like something different and potentially go out on their own.
Mm. Can you give us a case study where you've seen someone do that from overseas, where, you know, they're waiting to get their qualifications recognised and they're being practical and
yes,
doing a side job?
And a popular one is security. So they do weekend security work. And I know Nepean Regional Security is a female-owned business in Western Sydney that hires women to do that. And it's The shifts are great, so they work with you to say what shifts work with you around children, around study, and then they can actually say, right, I'm done with that now. I've got my certificate. I can go into cybersecurity now. I can go and get a job, which is great. But then they've also got that security certificate where they can continue doing that if they choose to. So if done well, it can be very beneficial.
What kind of resources are out there to help people set up their side hustle?
There's a lot, and I think people avoid government websites because they can be either traumatised by them. Like, you know, when you get your My Gov message, you think, oh, no.
What have I done?
What have I done? But they're actually quite helpful. So we're in your state, so state-based, so the Small Business Commission in your state or the state government will have resources on how to start a business. Very basic step-by-step guide, your ABN, what you need to do, your tax bracket, and also federally. And there are federal-run programs funded usually through employment service providers like AIMS or somewhere like that. And you just can Google it saying, I want to start a business or self-employment help. They will come up. You talk to them and saying, I'm interested in starting a business. What free services do you have? And have free coaching available.
Let's use the example of, you know, somebody working in an office in a corporate role during the week and then they want to do some cleaning on the weekends. How would somebody like that set themselves up? Would they go in a side hustle? Would they work for themselves? Should they go and work for somebody else? Combination of the two?
It's quite simple. To keep costs low, don't need a website. You just need an ABN. So get your ABN sorted. If you want a business name, you can do a business name or can use your own name for that. And it's word of mouth. It's literally just contacting a few people saying, I'm doing this now on the weekends. You don't need to say I'm new. Just say I'm doing this on the weekends. Would you like my services? Because when you think about it, all you need is a couple per weekend. That's it. So we're not trying to grow a massive business here when you're first starting out.
And I think we probably shouldn't ignore it. We know that there is a cash economy out there, right? What's your message to people that are working a second job or a side hustle and they're getting cash in hand?
Look, what I have to say is make sure you speak to your accountant in relation to that, because a lot of people can get caught out, and understandably, you don't know the tax system or you don't think you're doing anything wrong, but you start collecting lots of money and you think, oh, this is great. You actually have to pay tax on that, especially with your threshold if it goes above a certain threshold. So do the right thing, speak to an accountant or speak the ATO, call them up. They'll actually, I know we all go, oh, when you say ATO, but call them up and ask for advice and they'll help you.
Another growing area that you mentioned earlier in the interview is the digital space. What kind of things are you seeing there?
Oh, so many. People can literally be in your pajamas with a headset and you can be doing customer service inquiries for a company online. You can be doing graphic design. You can be doing copywriting and editing. So many people have that skill, but they're in finance or they're teachers or they're doing something else. And they go, right, you know what, at night I might do 2 hours a night. That can bring in some money. And also what it does is it's building up your transferable skills, which you can add to your CV if you want to move on.
Now, side hustles and teenagers, I guess you've got two ways of getting into the workforce. For example, my first job was for a fast food outlet. I did try and sell stamps at school for a little while, but, you know, I was pulled into the principal's office and told I couldn't do that. But that's very entrepreneurial. But anyway, that's me going off into a side note. What can side hustles teach children or teenagers in terms of their first job?
They're fantastic. So I ran a program called Future Not Followers, both in Western Sydney and regional New South Wales, for high school girls in particular. And it was about making money and side hustles. And what they all wanted to do was they all wanted to be an entrepreneur, right? They all wanted to have their own job in some capacity. But what we found is the idea of being able to make money is more realistic for them when they have a goal. So when they want to buy a car or they have something they want to buy, then we link that goal to how to bring in the money. So they might need multiple side hustles. So they might be working at a fast food restaurant a couple of shifts and say, I want to do more. Okay, let's look at your skill set. What else can you do? I'm going to go and mow some lawns in my, you know, down the road and do a couple of them and get them on, have them on repeat. They start making the money. They put it in their budget. It's towards a goal. So side hustles are like the pathway to reaching a goal for someone, for someone ages between about 15 to about 20. We find that's the most popular. And then the rest of them want to be the next Elon Musk and be a billionaire.
What about figuring out how much time you should devote to into your side hustle or setting one up, especially if you've got that full-time job?
Yes.
Or if you are a stay-at-home person looking after kids, how do you kind of measure how much time I devote to this?
Spend more time selling rather than preparing. So a side hustle doesn't need many clients and customers to get going. So one of my businesses that I started, I wanted to test the market. I didn't have a website, didn't have anything. I just went up to people and said, this is who I am. This is what I specialize in. I can do this for you. And they're like, yes or no. And then it was 2 years before I actually ended up with a website for that particular side hustle. So go to your friends, family, go to them first. We all need services. We all need our lawns done. We all need tech help. We all need something done. Go and ask them. And they're like, I might help. Yes, can you help me with this? And it starts building and then word of mouth takes off. So really just have your ABN sorted, have, you know, some research on what people charge and go out and test a couple, get a couple of customers and clients first, practice and then review.
Like many other children of migrants, the moment we were allowed to start working, we were working. So I think back then it was like 14 years and 9 months.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess that would have taught you valuable skills, because that's the other thing when we're doing these casual jobs as young people, there is a different mindset to somebody who has had casual jobs or side hustles as a teenager. There's a different work ethic, there's a different mentality.
And the confidence is higher. So one of my first jobs was at AMF Bowling, and I negotiated with my manager that I'm happy to do extra things for free to do promotions and marketing, because I wanted to practice marketing because that's what I was wanting to study. And they said, sure. So I sacrificed my time, but they paid for the resources and I practiced. So when I went into my first job, they're like, wow, have you done this before? So it's an opportunity to essentially make money whilst you're learning new skills, and it's brilliant.
And before we finish up, older demographics. So we're hearing about age discrimination in the workforce for people over 55. I'm guessing that's probably another core group that is embracing the side hustle or has to by, necessity.
They are. And a lot of them end up helping people with their careers, but also tutoring. So it's assisting people, because we need to understand that the older demographic have wisdom and have a skill set that you can't get until you're at that age. And so they're tapping into, could be career coaching, tutoring people in English. I remember I had an English tutor when I was at school, and she was over 50 and brilliant the way she handled me and assisted me. So if you're in that world and you're thinking, what do I do? That's what you're looking at. You're looking at something where you're dealing with people, because you're probably the best at it.
Have you had any side hustles?
All my businesses started as a side hustle. So my, I'll tell you about my very first business that I started. My very first business was graphic design and marketing for the sole trader, because I was so passionate about it, because I come from a sole trader family. And it was great. And then I realized this is really hard. It's not making much money. So I had to evolve into doing something else. But I've always got side hustles. Everything I do, I'm always looking for something different to do, because I test the market. It stimulates me. I learn something from it, and I either grow it or dump it.
What other barriers are there in place in terms of setting up a side hustle?
Everyone thinks it's already been done, or someone else is already doing it. You think, oh, there are so many people mowing lawns, so many people baking cakes, so many people doing tech. Yes, there are, because there are people in need for that. And really, you're only looking for a handful of clients and customers to start, but don't let that stop you. Don't let what other people are doing prevent you from giving it a shot, even if you're creating something new. If there's a market that you think hasn't been tapped, go for it. Ask around. People think, oh, that's actually quite good. It could be writing media releases for small businesses because they can't afford a PR advisor. Ask them. Just do it. You only need a handful. But don't think everyone else is doing it. I better not.
Now, just finally, we're talking about selling stuff to people that you know. If I've got a service and, say, one of my lovely cousins is coming to me, how do you handle that? How do you handle friends and extended family hoping for a freebie?
So what you do is you up your rate, right? Say up your rate, and that's the normal rate, and say, but I'll give you mate's rates. But really the mate's rates is your original rate.
Ah.
So they still think they're getting a discount, but you're still making money.
Very clever. Okay, thank you so much to Amanda Rose, the CEO and founder of Western Sydney Women, talking about side hustles there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Amanda. And of course, if you like this podcast, give it a rating or review wherever you're streaming this podcast from. And don't forget to click on that subscribe button so you can keep up to date on all the great Cost of Living Secrets podcasts coming up.
And remember, you can go back through our first season, which was nominated for Best Business Podcast at the 2024 Australian Podcast Awards. And you can find tips there on how to save money at the supermarket, petrol, seeing a GP, and so much more. I'm Peggy Giacomelos. Until next time.
And I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. Bye.
Bye.